Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today we're continuing with this powerful series called The Jesus Model. In this series, Rick will walk you step by step through the process of true biblical discipleship. Rick's giving you practical tools to grow spiritually, experience God's peace, live with greater purpose, and become more like Jesus in every area of your life. Okay, and right now, here's part one of a message called Growing a Heart Like Jesus.
You know, to follow Jesus requires movement. It means you have to move forward. You can't just sit still. You have to be active. We have an active faith. And Jesus uses words like come, follow, go, obey, send, do. This is not a faith that you just sit around and do nothing. It is an active faith. One of the examples is in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where Jesus says this. Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere that's comfortable and talk to people about the good news that you like. No, that's not what he says. Jesus said to his followers, read it with me, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Circle everywhere and everyone. That's pretty inclusive. It's pretty global. Now, when Jesus said this to his disciples, it was physically impossible. They could not go everywhere and tell everyone. They couldn't get to Australia. They couldn't get to Latin America. They couldn't get to North America. Most of the world was off limits. Because there were no sea-bearing ocean vessels at the time. There were no planes, trains, and automobiles, no internet, no Twitter, no Google, no cell phones, no telegraph, no telephone. There was telewoman, and that'll spread things pretty fast. But the natives are restless, Kimasabe. But there wasn't all of the ways that we have today to spread the good news. They literally could not go to all nations and tell everyone. But not anymore. We are the first generation with this privilege where you can go anywhere in the world in about 24 hours. If you don't believe that, just ask a travel agent. All you have to do is say, I'd like to go to some mountain in the middle of Tibet or China or up in the Himalayas on the mountains, and they'll have you there in about 24 hours. We are the first generation in history to be world class. In other words, we literally can travel to anywhere and talk to anyone almost within 24 hours. So we take this verse here at Saddleback very seriously. Go to everyone, everywhere. Now, I don't think God brought you here by accident. 1,000 years before you were born, God knew you were going to be here, and he didn't bring you here to just sit, soak, and sour. He brought you here to be a part of his plan for the world that he happens to decide to use this church at this point. How do I be a part of it? How do I become a world changer? Well, God says, you know what matters is not your background. What matters is not your fears. What matters is not how many sins you've had in your life. What matters is not your ability. God says, I'm looking for availability. God isn't looking for the most talented people to use. He's looking for the most available people to use. And the reason why God blesses me and God uses me is I'm available. At a very early age, I made the decision, God, I'm all in. I'm all yours. And I don't care what it is, and I don't care how tough it is. I'm going to say yes to it anytime, anywhere, any place. And it has been an adventure and the wildest journey of life in my own life. And you can make that decision too. The Bible says God is looking for people to use. And he will use you if you will just make yourself available. He will use you, yes you, to be a world changer. The Bible says this here on the screen, 2 Chronicles 16:9 is one of my life verses. The eyes of the Lord range, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God is looking over the whole earth to find people, he says, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. All God wants from you is not super talent, super energy, super intelligence. He wants a committed heart. And so that's why this weekend we're going to look at how to grow a heart like Jesus, because it starts in the heart. How can you develop a heart like Jesus? Well, you need to do four things. Number one, you must care about what Jesus cares about. That's the starting point. You must learn to care about what Jesus cares about. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Be full of love, following the example of Christ, who loved you, and he gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sin. He said, you want to be like Jesus? Then you're going to have to be sacrificial in your love. You're going to follow the example of Christ, and you're going to have to be full of love for others and care about what Jesus cares about. Now, what does Jesus care about? In a word, he cares about two things very deeply. Number one, he cares about the world. He created it, and he came to die for it. And Jesus loves the world. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now, I love that little word so, because it adds a little extra to it. You know, we can say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. But when you say, oh, I so love you, that adds a whole new dimension. God doesn't just love the world. He so loves the world. He loves it so much he was willing to die for it. The Bible calls that compassion. You see, sympathy is when you see somebody hurting, you say, I'm sorry you hurt. You send them a card. That's sympathy. Empathy is saying, I hurt with you. I enter into your hurt. Compassion is saying, I'll do anything I can to stop your hurt, even if it means dying on the cross. And the Bible says it repeatedly. Jesus was moved with compassion. He didn't go, oh yeah, I love you. No, he was moved with compassion. And God says, that's the way I want you to be toward the world. I want you to love the world with the people of the world. Love those people with all your heart. Jesus loves everybody. God has never made a person he doesn't love. He loves the people you don't love. He loves the people you don't like. He loves the people you disagree with. He loves the people you think are evil. He loves the people who didn't vote the way you voted. He loves everybody. And if you're going to have the blessing of God on your life and you want to be like Jesus Christ, you have to learn to love the people Jesus made and died for. And that's the whole world. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Now, when we see the crowds, we worry about a parking spot. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said, I looked out on all of humanity. I saw, man, they're messed up. They're harassed. They're helpless. They don't know which way to turn. They're confused. They don't have the slightest idea what the purpose of life is. They're worried. They're bored. They're bitter. They're guilty. They're ashamed. They're brokenhearted. They got all kinds of problems. They don't know which way to turn. They're screwed up. He says, I see the way people are, and my heart goes out to them. If you're going to be like Jesus, if you're going to be blessed by God, if you're going to be a world changer, you got to care about the world the way Jesus does. He loves it passionately. Not only does Jesus love the world, there's something he loves even more, and that is his church. You're going to have to care about the church. Why? Because the church is Jesus' body, and he loves his body. The church is Jesus' bride, and he loves his bride. The church is Jesus' flock, and he loves his flock. The church is God's family, and he loves his family. And remember, we've talked about this so many times, and I keep repeating it, because I don't want you to ever misunderstand that the most important thing on this planet, more important than everything else put together, is God's family. The reason everything exists is God wanted a family. There would be no universe, there would be no planets, there would be no earth, there would be no human race, except that God made it all so he could create a family. And that family is called the church. And one day, everything else is going to be destroyed. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, but God's family is going to go on forever. It's the only thing that's going to last. It's more important than anything else on the planet, because it's going to outlast, it's going to go trillions and trillions and trillions of years. God's family lasts forever. Now, the Bible says about Jesus, Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. You want to know how much Jesus loves the church? Look at the cross. With his arms outstretched, he is saying, I love the church this much. I'm willing to die for it. I am willing to shed my blood for it. He loves the church. And in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. He's not out building countries. He's not out building businesses. He's not out building non-government organizations or parachurch organizations or charities. Jesus is in one business, the church building business. It is his family. It is his bride, his body, his flock. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not be able to defeat it. Now, sometimes we have skirmishes, and it looks like all the church is being put down, or it's having a defeat there. But you know what? Go read the Bible. Now, I've read the last chapter of the book. We win. Okay, we win. It's like reading the last chapter of a novel. History is God's story. God is in control. It is moving toward a focal point. And what is that focal point? One day, history's going to end, and God's going to come and say, all right, I'm taking my family with me, and they're going to live with me forever and ever and ever. He says, I will build my church. And if you want to invest your life in something that's going to last for trillions of years, give your life to building of God's family, because that's what's going to matter. Now, God says, this is what I care about. I care about the world. I made it. I created it. I love it. And I sent my son to die for it. And I love my church, which is going to outlast even the world. Care about what Jesus cares about. Number two, if you want to have a heart like Jesus, this one's going to shock you. But you must be indifferent to what Jesus is indifferent to. We must be indifferent to what Jesus is indifferent to. You say, well, should followers of Jesus ever be indifferent to anything? Absolutely. Why? Because not everything's equally valuable. Not everything's equally important. Not everything is equally going to last. Some things aren't going to last 5 minutes, some 5 years, some 50 years, some 500 years. Some are going to last forever. You should invest your life in things that matter, not care about what doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. You know what's not going to matter? Everything that's in People magazine this week. Next week, nobody's going to care about what was in it this week. Why? It's short-term, fad-related, doesn't matter at all. Jesus was indifferent to a lot of things. People don't realize this. There are a lot of things Jesus didn't care about. He didn't care about things that didn't fulfill the mission God had called him to do. Jesus was indifferent to personal danger. One point, he's over in the ship, asleep during the storm. Everybody else is freaking out. He's indifferent to danger. He's not worried. I'm in God's hands. He was indifferent to the opinions of other people. He was indifferent to religious traditions. He constantly broke the religious traditions, which made the Pharisees and the Sadducees and religious leaders really ticked off, because Jesus valued relationships more than rules. He valued people more than principles. And he healed people on the Sabbath. Oh, you're not supposed to do that. He did all kinds of things. He always put the needs of people first, because it's all about love. So he was indifferent to religious traditions. Jesus was indifferent to human timetables. People kind of sped him up, tried to force him to do things fast, tried to get him under pressure. He always went at his own timetable. He went with a time clock, with the will of God. I'm just doing what God tells me to do. Jesus was indifferent to politics. Did you know that? Couldn't care less about politics. In fact, at one point, a politician talks to him about this, and Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, I would command my servants to fight. That's not our battle. We're not in political wars. Why? Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, I'd have all my servants being involved in that. But it's not. Jesus didn't try to overthrow the Roman Empire. He didn't try to revise it or reform it, he didn't come to change the political system of Israel. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. He was indifferent to that. It wasn't his ultimate agenda. Sometimes when Jesus was indifferent, it actually seems like he's rude. Let me give you an example. Luke chapter 9, Jesus says to a man, follow me. But the man says, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And here's how Jesus responds. Jesus replied, let the dead bury the dead. That sounds a little rude to me. Instead, you go everywhere and tell about the kingdom of God. Then another man said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first go home to my family. Jesus said, anybody who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use to the kingdom of God. Sounds rude to me. What is Jesus saying? Well, first you need to understand that Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew whether this was a legitimate excuse, a reason, or just an excuse. But it all boils down to the same phrase that both of these men used. I want you to circle it. He says, Lord, let me first. Circle that phrase. Both the guys said, let me first. Now, you cannot say, Lord, let me first. That's a contradiction. To use the word Lord and me first in the same sentence is illogical. Either you're going to be first in your life or Jesus is going to be first in your life. Either he's the Lord of your life or you're the Lord of your life. Either he's the boss or you're the boss. He's the CEO or you're the CEO. You cannot say, Lord, me first. Me first says, I'm God. I'm in charge. Now, we live in a totally me-first society. Would you agree with that? And it's a self-centered, narcissistic world where it's all about serving me. Do you remember when we used to have full-service gasoline? Anybody remember that? People like did it for you. And then everything's all now self-service. That has crept into our entire society. We're a self-serve world. Serve yourself. Serve yourself. And Jesus said, you guys, it's not about you. It's about me and my kingdom, and I'm preparing you for eternity. So you can't say me first and Lord at the same time. Now, what did Jesus mean when he says, let the dead bury the dead? Obviously, dead people can't bury other dead people. So he's not talking about physically dead people. He's talking about spiritually dead people, people who don't have the life of Christ in them, who don't know him on a personal basis. He's saying, let those who are spiritually dead do the things that anybody can do, and you be indispensable. He's saying, if you're a follower of me, if you've got my spirit in you, if you know the purpose of life, if you've been saved, you need to make your life count. Don't waste it on stuff that anybody can do. There's a lot of things in the world that anybody can do. But there's some things only a believer can do because you've got God's spirit in you. He's saying, let the spiritually dead do those things that anybody can do. You handle the stuff that can only be done by people who have my power in them. You be indispensable. And don't keep looking back, because if you're looking back, then you're caring about what they think instead of what I think. We must be indifferent to what Jesus is indifferent to. Let me give you a couple of very specific things that you need to be indifferent to if you're going to be a world changer, if you're going to let God bless your life and use you. Jesus, number one, was indifferent to impressing others. And you're going to have to decide in life who you want to impress. You have to decide, I'm not here to impress culture. I'm not here to impress popular opinion. I'm not here to impress my peer groups or my parents or my partners or my boss. I'm here to do the right thing, to do what God wants me to do. Jesus said in John 5:41, your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. He was indifferent to peer pressure. Jesus was indifferent to the expectations of others. He would never allow anybody else, not even his own mother or father, to defend him or to make him go a certain way. In fact, at one time, his mom asked him to do something. He says, it's not my time, Mom. He would not let the expectations of others control him. He was indifferent to either the possibility of rejection or the promise of praise. The second thing Jesus was indifferent to, this one's a little bit harder, he was indifferent to getting rich. He said, life just isn't about getting rich. He said, that's not my agenda, and it shouldn't be yours. Luke 12:15, life is not measured by how much one owns. He says the greatest things in life aren't things. Life is not about acquisition. The person who says the goal of life is that he who dies with the most toys wins is a fool. He says it's stupid. You didn't bring any money into the world. You're not taking any money out of the world. You think God put you here on earth just to pile up a pile of things? You think that the purpose of life is to just store up things? Oh, come on. That's all your life's all about? Storing up things? You didn't own anything before God created you. You don't own anything when you go into eternity. Why would you spend your entire life accumulating things you're not taking with you? Life is not about accumulation. It's about relationships to God and to other people. It's about preparation for eternity. And he says, you know, don't worry about this. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Your value as a person has nothing to do with your values, and your self-worth has nothing to do with your net worth. If you tie your life to things, then every time you have a bad investment, your view of yourself is going to go down. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6. Don't get preoccupied or worried with, you know, having enough. In other words, you know, the material things of life, like having enough to eat or having enough to drink or having enough to wear. He says, you know, that's what unbelievers do. Unbelievers get so concerned. They get so stressed out by material things. But your heavenly Father knows what you need. He says, God knows what you need. He said, instead, here's what you ought to be concerned about. Be concerned, first of all, with God's kingdom and what has his approval. What is that? Go everywhere and tell everyone the good news. He says, then all these other things will be provided for you. God says, I know what you need, and I'll make you promise. If you will make living for me the priority instead of living for yourself or living for things or living for the approval of others, I will provide you with all these other things you need. And I'll bless you. You just worry about doing the right thing.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. I've got something really special to share with you today, especially if you love Christmas and God's Word. We've got a brand new set of 52 beautifully designed scripture cards, each featuring a Bible verse centered on the Christmas story and the promise of hope found in the birth of Jesus, the true meaning of the season. And these cards aren't just pretty, although trust me, they're stunning. These are powerful tools to help you memorize God's Word and keep it close so that you've got it right when you need it. And while these cards are perfect for your personal study, they're also wonderfully versatile, and they can help keep Jesus at the center of your holiday. You could use them as meaningful gift tags on your Christmas presents. Place one at each setting on your holiday table or share them individually with friends as a thoughtful gesture. So, whether you're starting a new tradition or looking for a unique way to share the gospel with friends and family, well, these cards are a perfect fit. And trust me, you're going to love them. Today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people worldwide, be sure to request this very special collection of Christmas scripture cards. That's our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.